Offices are for assholes. I work in the cloud.
If you're hearing our voices, it means it's time for It's This Meets That, the podcast where you watch the worst movies from trailer and credits scene by scene, so you don't have to, but maybe you should. I'm Russ.
I'm Jared.
It's true. Offices are for assholes.
It's true.
It's true. That's right.
Each time it's about us.
That's right.
Let's work in the cloud, baby.
Let's all get in the cloud. All right. Okay. We're back with our full breakdown for The True Memoirs of an International Assassin, the 2016 Kevin James Netflix comedy-ish movie.
So international.
So international. So much assassins going on.
So little comedy.
Yeah, so many true memoirs. Do you want to remind us what this is about?
Do I ever?
I know you do.
After a publisher changes a writer's debut novel about a deadly assassin from fiction to nonfiction, the author finds himself thrust into the world of his lead character and must take on the role of his character for his own survival.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's it, right? Though, I mean, that's pretty much it.
That's the whole plot. Yep.
That's it. That's the plot. So, yeah, not much going from there. We did not great with our expectations, prognostications, but we...
No, I mean, I wanted to watch your movie instead.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know you kind of bailed on it because you'd already seen this movie, so you felt like it wasn't fair for you to chime in, but I think I leaned heavily into the meta Kevin James fictional character actually becoming a real character who kills off the fictional Kevin James character in the movie, but then actually becomes Kevin James. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. I mean, that would have been awesome.
Yeah, that didn't happen, though.
I was even wrong about my little part that I had forgotten. I thought it was in a fake country. I forgot it's actually in Venezuela.
Yeah, it's actually in Venezuela. It's not in Valverde.
Real Venezuela.
But I am bringing Valverde back in my pitch, so we will hang on to that one. The fake South American country from various movies. Yeah, it's okay. We didn't do great, but I think we did great in our own minds, and we did great in terms of what it should have been.
That's right.
But not great in terms of nailing it.
Listeners, if you don't listen to the trailer trash and you just come for the breakdown, like,
that's
wow. What are you doing? What a mistake you made.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, what are you doing? Yeah.
Yeah, so go listen to that and how good Russ's movie would have been.
Yeah, it's all there. All right, you want some quick info on this?
Yeah, might as well. Fire it up.
This is directed by Jeff Wadlow. We'll buy that, right?
Yeah, I think Wadlow. Yeah.
He was also a writer on this. So I think what ended up happening with this screenplay, and I'll get into a little bit of fast facts. So I'm going to do a combo here. So director is Jeff Wadlow. Screenwriter is Jeff Norris and Jeff Wadlow. I think this was, this script had been around for a little while. Jeff Norris had written a version of it, and then Jeff Wadlow came in and kind of rewrote a lot of it. For this movie. So, but Jeff Wadlow, director, he's
done a lot, looks like.
Yeah, mostly producer. Actually, no, he's done more directing and producing, but he's listed more as a producer. But yeah, he's directed like 18 things here. Are You Afraid of the Dark? Four episodes of that.
The new Are You Afraid of the Dark? It's good, dude.
Yeah. Looks like that's really only his big thing. Ryan Hansen Solves Crimes on Television. He did 5 episodes of that.
Kick-Ass 2 is pretty big.
Yeah, he started with a bunch of shorts. Hey, where everyone starts.
Yeah.
You start somewhere. And then it looks like he did a couple of music videos for people I don't know.
Nice.
And then he got into doing some TV. He did this.
Oh, Truth or Dare.
I think this is his. Oh, he did Kick-Ass 2.
And Fantasy Island. He does a lot of crappy horror movies. Okay.
Yeah. I don't think Kick-Ass 2 was a very good movie. I think that one actually could be. We could probably do that one on here. I think it's pretty low rated.
Neat.
Yeah, and in writing, he's written a bunch of stuff. Fantasy Island, he did Truth or Dare, The Strain TV series, 1 episode, Bates Motel, a couple episodes, and then TV movies here and there, but nothing, you know.
Right on.
Yeah, so that's Jeff, and then there's the other Jeff 2 here, Jeff Morris, who the other writer, who has done very little.
Nothing.
Well, his biggest thing is the TV movie Grumpy Cat's Worst Christmas Ever, so.
I bet that was a hit.
Yeah, I mean, to go from writing 2 shorts, he did you did what? Is some, I don't know what this is, but yeah. So yeah, that's it for Jeff. Who's in this? It's kind of a big cast here. So we got Kevin James plays Sam Larson, the writer, and Mason Carver or whatever, right?
Yep, can't hate Kevin James no matter what.
No, I like him.
And the movie's not his fault. Like, he did a fine job with, I think, what he was handed.
He was very Kevin James, you know?
Exactly.
He's just Kevin James. But yeah, it was a rough going. You might have to help me on this one. Zulay Hinault?
I think that's good.
Okay. She plays Rosa Bolivar.
Yeah.
Bolivar. She's the DEA agent that ends up helping Kevin James' character in real life. Well, real life in the movie.
Yep.
Maurice Comte, maybe?
Probably Comte, yeah.
Plays Juan. He's one of the guerrillas down in Venezuela.
That guy's funny.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Kim Coates plays President Miguel.
Also pretty funny.
Pretty funny from San Diego. Kim Coates, he's been in like other things, though. Very recognizable.
Yeah, he seems familiar.
As soon as I saw him, I was like, oh, it's that guy. He's this guy.
Oh, that guy, right.
Yeah, he was in Sons of Anarchy. He was in Goon, that's right. You see him, and you're like, oh, yeah. Van Helsing.
I've never seen anything he's in, actually.
I feel like there's something older.
Why do I recognize him?
Something older. Oh, look at that. That's funny. He was in Fantasy Island.
Fantasy Island.
That's yeah, okay. Then we got the connection here. He was in The Goons, Chimera's This. Yeah, you know, just kind of in stuff.
Oh, he's in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. He's that guy. He's that guy. He's just, you know, you see him, you're like, oh, yeah. Oh, he did some voice for that video game Prototype. Played a long time ago. CSI, of course. Everyone's in that. But yeah, he's been in a lot of stuff.
Wow.
A lot. Yeah, like... Yeah. Journeyman.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're still scrolling, listeners.
Yes.
This has been a couple minutes of scrolling. Uncredited in Bad Boys.
He was in Waterworld. Like, come on.
Yeah. He's in RoboCop?
TV series.
Oh, TV series. Okay.
TV series. Yeah. Yeah. Holy smokes. Yeah. He's been going since 1986. Whew. Miami Vice TV series. Whew. Getting it done. Yeah. So Kim Coates has been in a lot of stuff. But he's pretty funny in this. Who else we got? So Andrew Howard plays Anton Masovich, Russian.
Wait, you mean 2001 winner of the Tokyo International Film Festival Award for Best Actor for Mr. Inbetween? That?
What?
Andrew Howard?
That's the one, I'm pretty sure. Unless it's spelled differently.
No, it's the one.
How do you find these?
Carefully.
Google. Carefully.
That's right.
Ron Rifkin plays...
He's like a big theater guy.
Oh, okay. Oh, hey, you know, that's why you do a movie to make the money, so you can keep doing your art. So
yeah, he was in the Watchmen TV show.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
I don't remember. Anyways. All right, so we got Ron Rifkin plays Amos/The Real Ghost. Spoilers. Mm-hmm. Yul Vasquez plays General Ruiz, who once he's another one, you see him, you're like, oh, yeah, that guy. He's been in a bunch of stuff.
Yep.
Kellen Coleman, she plays Kylie, the publisher who publishes his
book.
She's
funny.
Yeah, she's pretty funny. Andy Garcia, friend of the pod, he plays El Toro, leader of the Rebels. And then we got the combo, Rob Riggle and Leonard Earl Howes, who play CIA guys, William and Michael. I don't even know if we know their names. I just called them CIA guys. So,
yeah, same.
Doesn't matter. And we got Ruben Vidal, who plays Venezuela officer number one. So,
oh, that's my favorite one.
Yeah, yeah, he was going to go number one. Nice. I couldn't get any budget or production numbers.
It's all fake.
I did some digging. Couldn't find anything. But, I mean, I don't know.
Netflix.
Probably a few million dollars.
I don't know, man. They probably did a decent amount of location shooting places. Like, it looks pretty real when they were, like, in the jungle and stuff.
They shot in one place. They shot in Santo Domingo.
Okay. That might have been expensive at the time. I'd say this is at least a $10 million movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, I think you're right. I'd say 10 to 15 million, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Kevin James, I don't know how much he's commanding these days. I mean, the cast is not going to be your highest cost, but...
Yeah, I don't think he needs
that wasn't
much.
Good.
He's got that King of Queens money.
Yeah. Just keep like, rolling in it.
Yeah, he's got grown-ups money. Like, he's just cranking, dude.
Rotten Tomatoes, this is 0%. Now, yeah. I will give that a little bit of credit, though. 0% from 9 reviews, though. That's critical
limited
response. So limited reviews, but 0%. 43% audience, you know that's just a Kevin James fan squad.
Yeah, I would give it, if I were scoring it on a Rotten Tomato scale, probably like 40%. Like, it's 40%. Not that bad, but it's... It's bad.
Yeah, it's just kind of boring and not funny.
I think that the thing that they do masterfully is that it's boring, but it moves. Like, you're never sitting there being like, wow, this hour and a half is really dragging. It's like, just nothing's happening.
Yeah, that's true. It does cook along. I'll give it that. The hour and 38 runtime is very much appreciated, Kevin James. So
yeah, it feels quick.
Yeah, it feels quick. And there's very forced character development, which is great. A lot of exposition to cover those things. We'll get into it.
Too many title cards.
Too many title cards. Okay, so if you want some Fast Facts? I'm cooking.
Back me, Daddy.
I'm cooking right now. Let's cook. We're cooking breakfast. Mm. Okay, so this kind of tying into the screenwriter situation there. So this first appeared on a 2009 blacklist of best unproduced screenplays.
They fucked up.
So I kind of read a little bit of like the original plotting of the Jeff Norris version, and okay. It's definitely different, but it's got the same pieces. I think Wadlow came in
better.
It's hard to tell. It just had like plot points. I didn't get into like, you know,
got it.
What it was. So, originally, Genesis Rodriguez, great name. We're throwing that
awesome name.
I think I'm throwing out the awesome name. Yeah, she's a actress model who was signed on to play the female lead role as the undercover DEA agent.
Okay,
Rosa there. Rodriguez left the project due to injuries incurred during the film rehearsals. She said on Instagram that it is with huge disappointment that I have to announce I got injured during rehearsals of True Memoirs and I can no longer continue.
So
she was replaced by with Zuley now, who plays Rosa, the DEA agent. Yeah, so.
Wow.
Bummer or bullet dodged?
Good question.
Good question.
She didn't probably get that Netflix money, but.
No, she didn't get the Netflix money. So, one of the photos on Rose's wall in her like apartment there, where her safe house is a picture of actor comedian Ricky Gervais. I think it was on wall, off of the wall of her like mapping out like.
Like the clue wall?
Yeah, the clue wall.
Sick. That's pretty funny.
This movie is actually filmed in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, and not in Caracas, Venezuela. Billboards can be seen of Dominican President Danilo Medina.
Wow, that's funny.
That's funny. So there you go.
Yeah, know your presidents. Come on.
Yeah, come on. Get your shit straight. And then at last, this is very fast facts here for you. The CIA seal depicted in various places in the movie is not the real seal of the CIA.
I would never have known.
Say that seven times fast. CIA seals.
The CIA places. Seal depicted in various places in the movie is not the real seal of the CIA.
Yeah.
That's tough.
That's tough. And that's it. That's all I got for fast facts. I pulled nothing else. There was nothing else left. So
I think that's fun. You did great.
Thanks, bud. I think it's a right balance of fast and fun. So
Yeah. This one had good trivia for a change.
For a change, yes.
Yeah, I feel like the last few we've been struggling a little bit.
Yeah, it's been a little rough. It's a little rough, but I do what I can. I do the best I can with what I'm given. So, like Kevin James in the script. So, you know,
that's right. Doing the best he can.
Doing the best he can.
All of the acting was good. Like it felt.
Yeah.
You know, like Kevin James is like he was a pretty good actor. Like I felt emotions when he felt emotions. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Do you want to Hollywood pitch me, mother?
Do I ever?
I don't know why I'm soft saying that now, because like now I bleep it out. So it's, you know.
I know. That's what, yeah.
We're doing it for the kids. So I could just go hardcore and be like, Hollywood pitch me, motherfucker.
You might as well. Right.
Might as well. Go all in on it.
I mean, we still get that explicit tag either way, but.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, which we should, but.
Yeah. It's adult content.
I like bleeping it out because it's fun.
It is fun. Don't let your kids listen to this, listeners. Yeah, or don't. Do.
Or do. Raising. And.
New generation of smart, comedy fans,
smart kids who know about the world, to our safety tips and general life advice as we break down these movies.
That's right. So pitch wise,
with that,
this movie is very obviously Operation Dumbo Drop meets The Bone Collector.
I mean, sold. Here's 10 million. Go make it.
So Operation Dumbo Drop, a classic. Right. A classic film of the modern era, like 95, right? Something like that. Anyway, yeah, the modern era. Anything post 1986, I say, is the modern era.
Okay, I buy that.
Arbitrarily. So both of these movies involve getting into a conflict in another country that Americans are getting involved in that they shouldn't be.
Yep.
Right. As a place to start. Operation Dumbo Drop, Vietnam.
Yeah.
Enough said. Yeah. We ruined it.
We ruined it. Yes.
Yeah. Really botched that one. This movie, Venezuela, where we're apparently like installed this president who is from San Diego and the CIA is just kind of like controlling things behind the scenes.
Classic. Yes, they do.
Classic. USA.
Yep. Classic USA.
Yeah. Not what you want. Both movies. Like, arguably, mostly about jumping out of aircraft.
Yeah, right? A lot of jumping. Yep, yeah, yeah, yep.
comes up twice in this movie. It's a big plot point when Kevin James is doing the whole helicopter scene, like it's from the trailer, also from the beginning of the movie, also from the end.
They could rename this movie Operation Kevin James Drop.
Right? Kinda.
Throwing it out there.
Yeah, I agree. So
funnier title, by the way.
Way funnier title. And better than an elephant, some would say. I like Kevin James way more than I like most elephants.
Yeah, I don't think I've met an elephant that I liked.
Right? The assholes, all of them.
Yeah, they always remember everything. Like, yeah, I don't need that.
Afraid of mice.
I don't need
cowards.
That. Trunks. Get out of here.
So, and then also, like, the movies kind of, they both follow a similar plot line of, like, oh, we're here, we're helping people. And then it's like, oh, no, actually, you're making things way worse.
Classic.
But then you end up helping people at the end. They both have kind of happy endings, right? Like,
yep.
Dumbo Drop is a success. The village gets to have their spiritual festival at the end with the elephant. Kevin James does Kevin James stuff, like, becomes a successful author, has a beard. Everything better at the end, right?
You need a beard to be a successful writer, by the way. We all know that. I'm still waiting for it, but yeah, we all know that.
Yeah. With the success, not the beard.
right. Well, I'm waiting for the success to come with the beard because I have the beard, but yes.
Right. Maybe you bearded too soon.
Maybe you need to shave it and start regrowing it.
Yeah, Kevin James didn't get a beard till after his first novel, so.
That's true. Okay, all right, noted.
Anyway, that's kind of it for that one. Meets the Bone Collector. Now, this one was a little wishful thinking. So Bone Collector, you've seen it, right?
Yes.
Denzel Washington, Angelina Jolie.
Yes, yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Denzel Washington is a paraplegic guy. I was bedridden the entire movie. They're like, you know what we should do? Put Denzel Washington in a bed for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
People will watch that.
He just sends Angelina Jolie out on, like, you know, these missions, right, to go and, like, find a killer and stuff like that. Yeah,
exactly. And the killer is, not only collecting bones, but also doing a lot of, like, identity assuming of his victims.
Okay,
right. Kind of like Kevin James in this movie doing a lot of identity assuming.
Yep.
And I wish he killed more people, right? Would have been a more interesting movie. So they do, like, in Bone Collector, it's like not like Seven, but it's like a little like Seven.
Yeah, it definitely is like a Seven kind of rip take there.
Right. Like he's like trying to do like a righteous thing where he's like, you know, punishing people and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. Yeah.
Setting up a whole big mystery at the end with like a big reveal. This movie kind of has like a big reveal that is not surprising at all, but you're like, oh, I knew it at the end.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to spoil it yet for the listeners.
No. We'll get there. Yeah.
The killer like wasn't really a killer either. Like in The Bone Collector, I mean, he's a killer. Like he definitely killed a bunch of people in horrific ways.
Yeah, collected their bones, right?
Well, yeah, that's what I didn't get either because he's not really collecting them. He's leaving the bones. The bones are clues.
So they're collecting the bones.
It's more like the bone lever. Right. Angelina Jolie is the bone collector.
She's really the bone collector. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. but just like Kevin James, like wildly unqualified. Like this guy in The Bone Collector is like a boring forensic guy at the end. Spoilies for The Bone Collector.
If you haven't seen it, like, you're lost.
Right. He's like, oh, yeah, you, Denzel Washington, like really screwed me over on
you
that
darn
case.
Kids.
Where like revealed that I planted evidence. Yeah. But that guy totally deserved it. planting that evidence and like he's like, no, I had to uncover you. You're a dirty cop. Yada yada. Super boring. Just like every character in this movie. Pretty boring.
Pretty boring. Yeah.
Okay. Boring writer guy. Like
they all
except for Rosa.
They all kind of have a trope. They all have a very, you know.
Yeah. Very tropey. Yeah.
Very tropey.
And I think that's it. I wish there was more bone collecting.
More bone collecting in this movie. Yeah.
Yeah, more graphic violence. I think I would have appreciated.
Okay, I buy that.
What do you got?
All right, so you have to follow me on this ride. I'm going with its adaptation, the Charlie Kaufman, Nick Cage, Spike Jones directed
kind of
flick. Kind of. It's a weird one. Adaptation meets Predator. Yes, the 1988 John McTiernan, Schwarzenegger.
Very familiar.
I mean, like one of the greatest movies ever made. put on film.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm going to start with adaptation here. You ready?
Yep.
All right, so adaptation, both movies about writers who have like a social phobia, low self-esteem, right? Kevin Yep. James' character in this, Charlie Kaufman, Nick Cage's character in adaptation.
So far, so good.
Both about adapting nonfiction works or events. So this movie, he ends up taking, well, one, he turns his own book into true life, but he ends up writing a second book that is based on real events, but calls it fiction.
Yeah.
In adaptation, he's adapting the Orchid Thief, which is actually a real book, into trying to adapt into a film. Let's see what it was. Both include invented elements about real life events, which kind of ties the last one. Both include a love story. Is a faux one. So I think both have an opposite version of the main character that they want to become. Okay. So in this movie, you have Sam, who's like this low self-esteem kind of writer, right? Doesn't really get out there and enjoy life. He's kind of living it vicariously through his characters.
Yep.
Right? And Mason's kind of like that opposite of what he wants to be. He wants to be like this, you know, kind of cool guy out there, right?
Badass.
Yeah. Adaptation, you have Nick Cage, who's the, you know, social-phobic, low self-esteem writer. And then you got his twin brother. I don't know if you remember this. His twin brother, Donald, in it.
Oh, nope. Completely forgot.
Who like is kind of goofy, a little more outgoing, and ends up writing like a really successful screenplay like it was nothing. Whereas like Charlie is like having this really hard time having all this writer's block. Let's see. Both. Did I skip this one too? Both include writers with writer's block.
Yeah, that's true.
Kevin James has some moments where he can't think of what he's doing. Let's see. Both involve best-selling novels, best-selling nonfiction books, technically, right? Even though in this movie it's turned into a nonfiction, it's still best-selling, right? It becomes a bestseller, doesn't it?
Yep, I think so.
It doesn't become a bestseller, but it takes off, right? It takes off for his career and like
Like we said in the trailer trash, more than 50,000 copies. Like that's a big book these days.
I would love for that to happen.
That would be incredible. Listeners,
doers,
help.
Both have this very meta aspect about the writer living their creation and slash their art, right? In both, I'm going to leave you this one. Both include a ghost. In this movie, we have Amos, the mentor. He actually is the ghost. Kevin James is kind of playing off being the ghost, right?
That's
adaptation,
right.
It's the rare, hard to find ghost orchid is what they're looking for. That's what the thief is trying to steal, is the ghost orchid.
Brilliant.
Right?
Wow.
So that's adaptation.
Pitch sniff.
Yeah. So Predator, now this is, it will be interesting. So right off the bat, we get the easy ones, right? Both take place in a South American country.
Yep. Easy peasy.
Predator, it's the fictional Val Verde. This movie in Venezuela, both involved Venezuela. Both involved the CIA making some shady moves, right? Dylan,
that's true.
Bringing his buddy here to go do something else that he was not ready for. Both involve Russians making deals and/or trying to vie for power in South America. It's a quick small plot point in Predator, but it's there. Both involve South American guerrillas and guerrilla camps, right?
Yep.
Rebels.
Gorilla with a U, just for the listener, UE instead of
Not the O, like how not I the spelled apes. It, just because like that's just how I write.
Like you're a writer.
Yeah, that's why there's editors. That's why there's like you to proofread.
That's right.
Let's see. The Predator is, I'm going on a limb here, but the Predator is basically Kevin James' character, right? They're both fish out of water characters. Hunting targets. Am I right? Right? I mean, it's a bit of a stretch, but they're kind of, you know, they're both in.
You think you're totally right.
Right? Kind of fish out of water. So,
And like does succeed in killing a bunch of people.
He does, right? Like maybe unintentionally, but I mean, the Russians killed, the president's killed, and he's there for all of it. So,
yeah, pretty much responsible, I would say.
I would call that a Predator move. So, let's see. I'm going with the ghost thing again here. In this movie, we have a character known as the ghost, which Kevin James does, but Amos is actually him at the end, who can kill pretty easily. The Predator, he hunts and kills like a ghost, right? Just disappears when he needs to. No one can find him.
Stealth's kind of the whole thing, yeah.
And I'm ending on both have helicopters.
That's right. That's right. Helicopters are a character in both.
Yeah.
So
that's my pitch.
Wow, I love it. You did great.
Thanks, bud. I love yours too. It's good. I think we did good.
We're having a good day.
What a great day. Great morning. We record this in the morning, and it is great right now.
Go outside. Enjoy the day. Seize the day.
Yeah, breathe some fresh air, would you?
Carpe that diem.
All right, so yeah, those are the pitches. I think we did, I feel good about those, so let's get into this, right? Let's get into
the movie.
Yeah, let's, what we're all here for, right? I think, maybe some of us, most of us. So we fired up, we're Netflix, right? We're in the boatyard, we're in the docking thing, basically some bunch of scenes from the trailer. This is a good old-fashioned action movie setup. It feels super staged, so it feels like it's not, you know, like a true action movie, so.
Agreed. For good reason.
Yeah. So we get all the action from the trailer, the truck driving through the wall. We got Mason Carver here. He shows up. That's a fictional character that Sam's created that Kevin James is playing.
Just crushing it. Kills all the bad guys. It's boom. Basically the trailer, like you said.
Does the old mic drop with the gun, you know, wipes everyone out. And we got a
big Jeff Wadlow credit. Like, really wants to take responsibility for this.
Yeah. Responsibility. That's a good word.
Yeah. Fascinating.
And we had our first title card, The True Memoirs of an International Assassin. We get our movie title. So,
yeah.
And there's going to be a thing here. So the way they were dropping these like credits was like kind of in the like in scene, you know, like 3D kind of in scene, which later on they do like other, for some odd reason, they do other like transition cuts to like the mission update. And it's like a weird computer screen thing. I don't know why they just didn't do that for, like, you know what I mean? They could have done like the typing of like in backspacing.
Like
on the, yeah, like on the credits. Like they could have done that. Like it was a writer.
A lot of missed opportunities.
Yeah, a lot of missed opportunities. That's when you have two different people doing two different things. Okay. So the opening continues and we're still in this like fake action moment, right? And we get the RPG moment from the trailer where he basically comes face to face with the guy, pulls an RPG and just blows him up and there's body parts everywhere.
Yeah. And then we cut from the trailer. Exactly. We cut to him writing and he's like, I guess that's a little too over the top.
Huh? It's a bit over
the
top.
What's the next move? What happens here?
Yeah. So he's a little stuck.
Yeah. Exactly. And this is a bunch of like cutting back and forth in this scene and for the rest of the next couple scenes of like Kevin James writing at home, sitting on his laptop with his glasses and
then it plays
whatever
out
and Mason Carver's doing.
Yeah. Yeah. It just kind of plays out that was where it was happening. So and he comes with an idea, he plays it out. And then there's the whole helicopter scene.
Basically. Yeah. There's a little foreshadowed on the knife fight situation, but,
there are a couple of foreshadows we'll flag, a little bit later on, but, so then he's on the helicopter scene with this woman he's trying to save. This is a giant A foreshadowed for later in the movie. Which is basically be the big climax of the movie. And he has a big fight scene with the big baddie, tosses him out of the helicopter, some really bad CG. And then the helicopter crashes in the water and they swim to the beach alive. And this is when we get the moment of like him trying to find like, what's the line? What's the signature line from right now to say to the woman he just saved? And
So he, best way to think of a signature line, do some laundry.
That's what I do. So then we kind of we're to real life here, Sam's life, and he's decides to take a break and do some laundry. And then we see his apartment. We can see that he's obsessed with the book. He's got the clue map. He's got the logic thing going on. He's got all the characters listed out. He's got the red string tying people together. Yada yada. You can do that. I don't do that. If you want a little insight into the writer, I just have a spreadsheet.
But like you do some research. Not maybe quite as much research as Kevin James here.
Whoa! You saying my book wasn't thoroughly researched?
No. In fact, I'd say it's one of the more thoroughly researched books I've ever read. highly recommend you go buy Host wherever you buy books.
Thank you. Thank you. That's right.
Yeah. At a bookstore not near you, but you can ask for it and they'll order it.
Yes, they will. Or you can just go on to online bookstores and get it.
Amazon, any of them. The Bezos.
More money, more power. So he runs into his neighbor off from the trailer. And they kind of blow back and forth in the elevator, but he's just sitting there like coming up with lines in his head. And she's like, he's like, I'm just trying to think of what to say to a beautiful woman. And there's like,
no thanks needed. Just doing what any man would do. She's like, are you talking to me? No. I'm not, just like what I would say to a beautiful woman. Not that you're not a beautiful woman.
It's like the classic not explaining what he's like. Oh, I'm an author. I'm trying to think of a line for blah, blah, blah. And then it just becomes awkward. So that's funny.
Yeah, it's funny.
And then we cut to his work and he's at work and he's researching guns.
Which, listeners, safety tip. Safety tip number. I can't remember the number. I think it might, it's like pretty high up there, like maybe 45.
I think it might be. Yep, 45. Yep.
Don't research guns at work.
No, that's not a good idea.
Ill-advised.
Yeah, so he's researching guns at work, and his boss comes over and is like, whoa, is this, do we have to worry about being a little disgruntled here?
Yeah, no, I'm totally gruntled. Which is something I would say, I think.
So now, I was confused because like this whole thing was set up and like nothing happens from this. He, like, his boss is like...
And I don't even think this is his boss, because he's like... Oh yeah, you got to do this thing, and he's like, just kidding. I know you make less than me. I don't know. Maybe it's his boss. He's definitely ordering him around like he is. But I was like confused because I was like, are they just coworkers, and this guy's just a douche?
Well, like, he was just like, hey, I need you to do this report or whatever that. And he's like, Sam's like, well, isn't Jerry supposed to do this? And he's like, nah, Jerry's an idiot. Blah, blah. So he basically got to work over the weekend. But he's like, hey, I got to work on my book. I had plans, whatever. This doesn't come back at all later on, right?
Nope. Never again.
So it's like there's no need for this other than to have what's his face in that scene, and then the actor's name is okay.
You gotta have an asshole coworker / boss.
Gotta have an office space kind of boss, right? So
exactly.
All right, so then we're back at home, and
trying to come up with that signature line.
He gets a line from his boss here. And he's like, "That's why I get paid the big bucks." And he tries that out. He tries that out.
Nope, doesn't work.
Yeah, and they do a quick cut to Mason in the book world, and he kind of breaks the fourth wall. He's like, that's bad. So then we're back in the action scene in the book, right? And it's kind of intercut again of him like tossing stuff around in the gym, and it's all from the trailer, but then it being played out in the book.
It's showing that like while he's been doing research for the book, he's also been like learning some interesting skills. Like he cleans and disassembles and puts a gun back together in like 20 seconds. And like, you know, he's like knife throwing stuff at a target board. And like,
yeah, he's like good shot with his, that, he's good shot with his, you know, BB gun or whatever, but like,
exactly. So like,
all set up maybe for, he could do some of this stuff.
He might be able to pull some of it off.
If he just finds the confidence within himself to do it. So
you just got
to
get the right kind of kidnapped.
And he's, good with the knife, throwing knives. And then he's got the line, never bring a knife to a gunfight, which that will come back at the end as a line. So, and we're at a pool hall, and he goes to meet an old guy who is basically his like mentor / he was a field agent apparently, and like helping him with his research and giving him stories and stuff that he can use for his book.
He's a Mossad analyst. So that's what he's like. Oh no, I wasn't a field guy. I was just an analyst.
So he says.
Yeah, exactly. And quickly gets into the details of like, well, you know, it'd be a lot easier to survive falling out of a helicopter than actually surviving the crash, like for a number of reasons. And so like, if you want to be realistic about it, that's what I would do. He's like, in fact, there's a story about an assassin so deadly that he got hired to kill this Venezuelan general and like, you know, started a revolution in Venezuela.
Oh my God.
Some say he's still out there living in the shadows. They call him the ghost. That's not for your book. Explicitly says, not for your book.
Why would you tell that story?
Right.
Also, so this is Amos. This is Ron Rifkin. He's playing this character. Yeah. And he's Amos. And like he said, he's like the research kind of helping him out with, you know, real things. But he's also the ghost. I mean, spoilers, but he's actually the ghost. So if you didn't
find out,
if you don't want this to be in a book, don't say it to anyone. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those moments like, I wonder if this will all come back. All right. So then we're back at the apartment. He's writing, right? He's rewriting the helicopter scene now, safer to jump versus waiting. Then they replay the scene out.
Yeah.
He does a hush thing and says, call me the ghost. So this is where he actually plucks some stuff from.
Perfect. Yeah. It's the perfect crime.
Yeah. And then he prints it out.
Let's go.
Print it out, and then we get a title card 6 weeks later. And we're back at Sam's apartment here, and he gets his manuscript returned to him with a rejection notice.
So he files it away with all his other rejection letters.
This doesn't really happen anymore anyways. It's all digital. You don't mail your manuscript anywhere anymore.
Exactly. You get rejected digitally now.
Yes. It's much more colder and much more, you know.
Yeah, less personal.
Yes, very much less personal. Oh, my God. So he's sad. And then he gets like random call from, we get a little sad, you know, time passes.
He's sleeping on the couch. It's nighttime now. It's like the middle of the night, seemingly, when the publisher calls, which you're like, weird.
She does what she wants.
Someone take that as a red flag, but hey. He's like, no, I don't need any more subscriptions. I have enough subscriptions. She's like, no, I'm interested in buying your book. Yes. let's meet at the office tomorrow. And he's like, okay.
So then we're at Starbucks.
Which is, and, the offices are for assholes.
Yep.
That's right. In the cloud.
That's right. And she's moving real quick, fast talking here, loves the book, or doesn't necessarily love the book, but just was like, yeah, I want to get this out there.
Yeah.
And basically wants him just to sign his rights over via phone, digital phone. I was like, is this going to come back later? He's like, I should have my attorney read this. She's like, nah, don't waste your time.
Good one. You don't have attorneys.
Yeah.
congrats, you're a published author.
Yeah, so he signs. She also has a little thing about how self-published authors are amateur. Come on now. He's like, was this like a self-published thing?
Yeah, no, I was worried that you're going to throw your remote or something.
I had to call that out. 2016, times have changed. And she says, I'm not going to change a word. And he's like, really? Which, that's also bullshit.
Mm-hmm, from the trailer.
And she's like, and she just takes off. She's like, hey, you'll get proceeds minus my commission. And that's it. So
easy peasy.
Yeah, so he's back at work on the phone with his mom.
Yeah, he's pretty happy about it. He's like, look, Ma, I'm a published author. Like, it's right here on the online. Like, let me find it for you. Yep. And he's looking, and that's when he discovers nonfiction.
Nonfiction.
Uh-oh.
Yes, discovers she added the word true. Now we're back at the coffee shop, and he's, you know, yeah, what'd you do? This is all stuff from the trailer.
Yep.
And he's
this
like,
is
yeah,
where you, I was like, the math isn't mathing quite on this one. Like he sold 10,000 copies so far.
Yeah.
And she hands him a check for $5,000, which
yeah.
I feel like that's bad.
Yeah, no, that's about right. You're not making much.
I don't know, man. Like, I feel like you could make $5,000 on less than 10,000 copies, self-publishing, amateur style, right?
Yeah, self-publishing I could, but not.
I guess.
So, not if you get in a deal with a publisher who's, you know, does nothing and just takes some of the proceeds. Just saying.
Yeah, yeah. Listeners, I know you come for the scathing indictment of the publishing industry.
That's right. So yeah, but he made $5,000 minus her commission. So yeah, it probably all kind of checks out, but he's not uncomfortable. He's uncomfortable with it. He's not comfortable with the whole thing being true and nonfiction until she drops the money in front of him. So
yeah, he's protesting for sure.
Yep. Yeah. So then we're back at home.
Yeah. This is when the neighbor lady's like, oh, hey, Sam, didn't know you were a writer. Like she's interested now. Right.
Yeah,
like,
yep.
This book's starting to get popular. People are talking about it. Everybody's talking about it in the building. And he's like, oh, people in the building talk? And she's like, yeah, on like Snapchat and stuff. You wouldn't get it.
What did you say, Slapchat? She's like, that's Slapchat, not what it's
called. Yeah. And then he does the whole slit your throat and watch you bleed out bit from the trailer when they get in the elevator together. And she's like, actually, I'm going to take the stairs. So like, still manages to screw it up. but whatever. So he gets up to his apartment and he's looking at book sales, right? We're seeing 22,000 copies now. Crazy. So many thousands of books.
I would love that. That'd be great.
Looking at his pile of money and he's like, I don't know. Like, is it worth me lying? yes. So far, yes.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it always pays off.
Back to the pool hall, right?
Yeah, back to the pool hall. He brought him some food or something like that. And the guy's kind of annoyed and the guy's pissed, right? And he's just like,
yep.
He's like, hey, man, I told you you weren't supposed to use that story. This is like real lives are at stake here. You can't be, you know, messing around with this stuff. Like this information I gave you.
Get hurt. The ghost is private.
Yeah.
And he's like, gets a big thing into like, why do you do this? Like, why are you writing?
Right.
And he's like, well, cause I want to be a published author. And he's like, no, like, why are you actually writing?
Yeah.
I guess to escape. And that's when he, you know, gives him the advice, which he's always given him. Stop writing other people's stories. Start living your own.
It's a little bit of advice, you know, which I wonder if that's what's going to happen later on. And then we're quickly at the coffee shop with the publisher. And she's like, I got you set up with an interview. It's on a little Yahoo News with Katie Couric.
Yeah. Not sure you've ever heard of this little thing called Katie Couric, but.
and he's like, yeah, he's worried about being a fraud, whatever. And she mentions that guy we were talking about in Trailer Trash, that lad on Oprah, right? I don't remember his name.
Yeah, me neither.
He was like, he's a fraud. She's like, yeah, but he's a zillionaire. It's like, not wrong. So
great point.
Great point.
Yeah. So we're going to transition with the 56,000 copies now from the trailer.
It's slowly taken off from 10,000, 50,000. It's selling, right?
Yep. And then we're at the Katie Couric desk.
Yeah, Kate, the Katie deal here. And he meets Katie Couric, and there's a little bit of, you know, nervousness about meeting Katie. And then he's like, well, hopefully, she's like, they didn't read the book. Don't worry about it. They're not going to, he's like, worried that they're going to pull some facts from the book, and he's going to have to, like, talk about it.
Yep.
And then the producer comes over and is talking to her, you know, some advisor or whatever, someone there, talking to Katie, and they pull the book, and it's got all these, like, marked pages and, like, highlighted, like, stuff.
Where's the timeline that doesn't match the dates? Okay, yeah. Yep.
So, like, they're going, and he starts, like, just completely freaking out. And then that's when, you know, Katie's like, hey, just breathe, it's okay, blah, blah. And then, and he's, like, trying to get the publisher, but the interview starts, and she reads a line from the book about him, like, being addicted to death, you know, as a ghost, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
And he just, like, totally.
So, can I ask, are you still addicted to death?
And he just, like, totally freaks out and just runs out of the interview. He's still mic'd up, and they can hear him, like, running out and, like,
gotta pee.
I gotta pee.
Which is how he gets out of half of the situations in the movie.
This is true. Actually, yes, that will come back. That's an A foreshadowed. He uses that to, I forgot about that one. Okay.
Where's the bathroom? I gotta find it. Bathroom.
And then it, like, finally he, like, gets in a cab and just leaves, pulls the mic off, whatever. And it cuts to the publisher in back in the interview building. She's like, you know how many books is gonna sell? So good.
But also, meanwhile, someone's watching him across the street, right?
That's right. Because he gets back to his apartment. Yep.
Yep. And he gets out of his cab, and this is, again, from the trailer. But like, the first third of the movie is basically an extended version of the trailer.
Yeah, pretty much. And then he gets bagged and drugged and abducted. So.
Yep, fade to black. We get airplane noises, like the slow come to with, like, the, you know, blinking of the eyes effect on the old movie there. Classic, classic. Before you know it, tied up in a jungle in a cabin. Been there.
So he's tied to a chair, and then all these mercenaries or guerrillas come rolling in, right? And and we got friend of the pod here, Andy Garcia, aka El Toro.
Yep. And he's like, Mason Carver, and he's like, no, there's been a mistake.
Yeah.
This is all fake. And he's like, no, the ghost is real. He's in Venezuela, and it's you.
Yes. And Andy Garcia is all bought in that he's the ghost. Like, even to the end, even when he's told he's not the ghost, he's still kind of bought in on him, right?
Yep. Well, and then at the very end.
The very end.
Back in, he is the ghost.
He is the ghost. So then Sam quickly puts together who they are. He's like, he sees their, like, you know, armbands or whatever. And he's like, oh, you're the such and such guerrillas down in Venezuela. He's like, so he knows they're in Venezuela. And he tries to talk his way out of it. And he's like, I'm not a ghost, whatever. Blah. And Andy Garcia is like, but that's what the ghost would say. And then they have this back and forth for a little bit. And then Andy Garcia goes over the top of the threat. If he's not the ghost, this is what he's going to do to him. This keeps coming back where every character he runs into wants him to do something. It is, like, over the top exaggerated, like, threat to his life. And then Sam just agrees. He's like, yep, I guess I am. And I have to figure out how to get out of this situation. So long story short,
kill the president.
His objective is kill the presidente of Venezuela.
Yep. So that's when we get one of our many title cards here. Objective mission, kill the president.
And this is like, then it's like, it's like one of those typed, like, it's like on a computer screen type of thing where it's like, which,
inconsistent.
All right. And then we're at the, we're hanging with the Toro talking with the Venezuela guerrilla camp, right?
It's basically just explaining the plan. Like, here's what you do. You go to the inauguration ball and you gotta kill it. Like, you get your gun going and you murder the guy and, like, do something really crazy to him. And he's like, well, I'll probably do something faster.
But then Sam's got, he's done all the research for this sort of stuff. So he actually has an idea of how to pull this off. And he's like, I've got 90 minutes to get out of the country. This is what I need. This is where I'll do it, blah, blah, blah. And El Toro's like, okay, yeah, actually that's a sound plan there. And then El Toro's right-hand man, Juan, who shows up. He doesn't believe he's a ghost. He's very hesitant to buy in on it.
And wants to kill him.
And wants to kill him. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Straight up wants to kill him. Yes. The whole movie.
They do this cut, like, a couple times where they do, like, oh, now we're overhead security footage style. And then you, like, zoom out and it's on a monitor at the CIA office.
Yes. Yeah. They do it a few times to cut us over to the old CIA building. Yep. So. And we get the boys here, Rob Riggle and Leonard Earl Howes. Yeah, I don't know what he's in. I don't know if he's been in anything else, but so we get the two of them kind of have a good back and forth rapport here. But they're basically like betting. They basically just throw bets on he won't make it out alive.
Yeah.
And they know who he is. They're like, yeah, this is Sam Larson. Like, he's an author, blah, blah, blah. And like, they know who he is. And they're like, but they, at the end of the day, they don't give a shit. They're like, whatever.
Well, they're like, should we pull him out? Why? Because we're the CIA. And then the other guy's like,
oh, yeah,
you almost got me. good joke.
It was just pretty good. Anyway, we get a transition. Venezuela transition drive, shots of the country, the city, car ride. And we get a title card, kind of like the beginning credits of the movie, like printed on the screen where it's Caracas, the most dangerous city in the world.
Which qualified how?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's probably not super safe, but most dangerous city in the world. Like,
I haven't looked up. I haven't looked up its motto, so I don't know. So I don't know.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm sure it's on the sign when you get there.
And then we're in a safe house, I think, or like a reconnaissance house. So Juan's brought him to drop him off to where he's like, hey, here's your place. You can go. You can do some reconnaissance on this event. And Juan still doesn't believe him. And it's kind of funny. And this is, we get this a few times. Because it's kind of setting up for like Sam is like imagining what the ghost would do in this moment, and he like,
yep.
So we cut to him like thinking this, and it's like him kicking his ass and taking the gun, whatever. And then it snaps back to him in like reality. And they do this a few times, and he's just like, he's just super nervous, and he's like, I need to pee because like Juan's got a gun pointed at him. Juan's like down the hall on the right.
So in the bathroom, he washes his face, comes to the realization that he's in a bad situation, and tries to make an escape, right?
Yeah, you head for the balcony. I guess that's the first place you go for.
Yeah, when in doubt.
Yeah. But when Juan picks up, he's like, why is he taking so long? He's like looking for him at the bathroom. He opens the door. He doesn't see him. And then Juan runs out to the balcony. And we're all thinking that we all think that Sam's hanging off the balcony edge. He's not. He did the old trick. He went, made it look like he was out the balcony, came back in, hid.
Yeah.
Juan went out. Sam locks him out there. And then he just takes off, and then we're outside, and Sam's asking for the policia, which that's not happening in the most dangerous city in the world, so
not great. So but he does end up at the police station.
he steals a scooter and escapes, and then we cut to the Venezuelan police department police station. And basically he's
explains the whole situation.
Basically explains the whole plot and like how El Toro wants to kill the president, and he's an author, he's not the ghost. And kind of funny joke about between him and the detective here about like his book being like the next Twilight. And he was like, oh, you know Twilight? He's like, oh yeah, I know Twilight. You know, kind of funny. Listeners, you should also know Twilight because we covered two parts of those.
That's right.
The five movies. So
enemy of the pod.
Twilight.
Everyone involved in the making of Twilight.
Oh my God. And he's you know, hey, take me to the embassy. And instead they take him to...
We'll definitely take you to the embassy. Okay.
Yeah, sure. Sure, guy. The most dangerous city in the world. We're not bringing the embassy. They bring him to some sketchy warehouse, which we've seen this in the trailer. And basically we got a call. So it's this detective and then another cop. And the other cop's like, hey, Masovich, you know, wants you to bring him in to see him.
Yep.
And the police officer would just want some money now. Yeah, give me some money. Yeah. You got money.
Did you say that we get like a little bit of intro to Masovich for like a second?
I didn't. Well, somewhat. Yeah, the other cop like on the phone with him, like talking about.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah. And you're like, oh, interesting. Who's this new character? But yeah, then they try to shake him down. He calls his publisher to try to get some money. And he's like, look, I've been abducted. I'm in Venezuela. And she's like, ah, you're so method. Well, see you when you get back. Have fun.
Yeah.
Can't wait to hear how the ghost gets out of this one.
You need a truck driving through a wall, I think, at this point.
Basically, because he's like, he does his, let's light this candle, and like tries to fight them and is like obviously incompetent at it.
He doesn't have the confidence, but he knows he can do it. He can do some of it, but.
Exactly.
He's been trained.
Our second SUV through a wall.
Yes.
And a real hero,
Rosa shows up. She's from the DEA. It's all the action from the trailer we've seen. She kicks ass. Yep. It's very painfully cut and edited, but she's not a great shot though. It comes back later on. It's kind of like a little moment between the two of them. But she kicks ass and saves him. Let's go, Cupcake. And
they drive away.
Yeah. So now she's going to use him to get close to meet with Masovich because she's like, whoa, 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 you got a meeting with him? And he's like, yeah. She's like, well, you're going to go meet with him because If you don't, that's going to cause more problems.
Yeah. She explains the whole situation in the car. She's like, I'm from the DEA, like, yada, yada. She has a couple of good lines that he should use in a book. Like, I don't do this job for thanks. And then she like makes up all these nicknames for him, which I enjoy the whole time. She's just calling him Sam and Cheese. She calls him Honey Baked a couple times.
Yep.
We'll get bacon bits in a minute, I think. Masovich doesn't want him dead. He needs him to be an assassin. That's the thing. Like, right. Masovich really believes he's an assassin.
Right.
Part of the
right.
explanation, right?
So play that up. And the police would have, if they were looking to kill you, they would have killed you just then and there, but they didn't. So
exactly.
So then, yeah, you get to the house. We get to the Masovich house. And classic, you know, crazy Russian, right? And he's
Loving Zima.
Loving Zima.
Everyone loves Zima. Yep.
Speedo on. And there's women everywhere, you know. So he's, you know, okay, he's got money. He's a gangster of some sort. And then Sam confesses he's not the ghost immediately.
Immediately, yeah. Immediately. And listeners, we haven't really called it out yet, but the soundtrack to this movie is also great. It's like all... Spanish language covers of hits.
Yeah.
So this is like, we get some Taylor Swift in Spanish in the background now.
It's kind of funny. Yeah. Cause at least they stuck with it.
Yeah. It's fun.
So yeah, he's convinced he's not the ghost. And he like, then we learn more plot stuff about, you know, Toro needs to die because he's disrupting Masovich's business. So now Masovich, he's got his own needs, which is to have him kill El Toro. So El Toro wants him to kill the Presidente. Masovich wants him to kill El Toro. He's like, so you can do one of two things. You can kill the president, start a war, and bring the country to its knees, or you can do some good and kill El Toro and keep my business alive. Right?
Yep. We also get a little bit of like about Masovich's character here, because he's like, Paolo's the one who's in charge of bringing him Zima. The Zima shipment got delayed, so he brought Smirnoff Ice instead. You hate to see it. But he's known Paolo since he was a boy, right? His family, Paolo's been working for his family for a generation, 40 years. And then he just immediately shoots him in the face. He's like, oh,
okay, that's how he works.
Yeah, it's that kind of gangster. Got it. Don't let me down like Paolo, right? That's kind of the whole premise here. So we get our second title card, Mission Kill El Toro?
And then CIA is still watching the whole thing, and they're chatting about his meeting with Masovich. And
Well, he's already met with two of the three kings of Caracas. We should tell the third, right? Like, who's the third?
Who's the third? So here we are at the embassy outside. And basically, he wants to go to the embassy. He's like, I need to get out of here. I want to go home, you know?
Yep.
And she's like, hey, if you go in there, you're going to die. Yeah, you're going to die. Like, these three run the entire country. You don't think there's going to be someone in there who's going to, you know, rat you out or kill you? So,
yep.
There's eyes everywhere. So then he decided to go get some lunch.
Yeah, basically.
They go to a restaurant. And they're, So this is where she just dumps a bunch of exposition about the politics of what happens if who and, you know, if and when and who dies. So, it's just kind of, I don't know, typical stuff.
You get a little bit Kevin James pushing back on, you know, he's like, hey, stop with the nicknames. Like, that's bothering me.
And it'll come back later when he does, you know, when he reads her kind of, but doesn't really. But he's stuck there and he needs to do whatever, you know, basically he's just stuck and he needs to do what everyone else says. Even her, she's like, hey, you have to stick around here or you'll die. And like, you have to do these things because I want to make a change here. And we kind of learn a little bit about her, but
he's got to get in the game.
Yeah.
That's going to be come back later too.
That's going to come back later too. So
we get a side cut of the waiter calling someone on the phone and being like, the ghost is here.
Yeah.
They're like, oh no, he's getting ratted out already.
Eyes everywhere.
Yep.
And then we're at the Presidente's office with the CIA. Yeah. And
the third king of Caracas, right?
That's right. And they tell him the deal and they're like, hey, this is what's going on here. And
listen, Mike. Like, hey, don't call me Mike. Miguel.
We know you grew up in San Diego. A bit of this is from the trailer because they're like, is he legit? And they're like, look at him. No, he's not. Like,
yep.
But then General Ruiz comes in, right? Or he's there.
Get intro to his the president's right hand man, General Ruiz.
So we got another character here, and he's like, he wants to interrogate him. He wants to interrogate the ghost. So
yep. And we get just a little more confirmation that like Mike hates this place as much as everyone in the CIA.
Oh God, yeah, the CIA make fun of Venezuela. Mike is, yeah, it's all kind of, it's kind of funny, but they're like, yeah, this place sucks, the people suck, you know, and he's just like, I hate this place, I want to get out of here, which we'll come back a little bit later.
I think that sets up a lot of questions.
Tons of
nothing's really happened yet.
Nothing's really happened, but there's a tons of questions for, and you know what I hate having to end part one, but it's got to be done. It's got to be done.
The best things in life have an ending.
That's true. This is true. I think
just like part one.
Just like part one. Yeah. So
everybody dies.
Plenty of. That's a good way to end it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, plenty of questions we have here. We have, how involved the CIA? What is their role in this? What do they want out of this? You know, what does Masovich want? What is, we all know what they kind of want, but it's all power, money, and drugs. But
yep.
Deep down, they all need a dog.
All right, be more nicknames.
hopefully there will be. I think there will be. But yeah, that's it. Thanks for listening. We'll be back on Thursday with part two. In the meantime, you can follow us on Instagram. It's this meets that, right? TMT Pod on Twitter. You can follow wherever you're listening and share with us with a friend. Please do.
Yeah. Or share us with your presumed enemies, people online. I'm assuming you hate everyone online. So write a review.
Yeah.
Talk about how awesome ITMT is instead. Maybe you'll make some friends.
Right. That's possible.
Anywhere you can write reviews, please do that. Maybe a long form blog post, like on your blog. I'm assuming you have a blog, listener. Write us something there. That sounds nice, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or if you don't have a blog yet, send us an email. We'll make it into a blog.
Yeah, we'll tell you how to start a blog. And yeah, we'll turn your email into a blog.
The old weblog everyone loves.
Reading, am I right?
Yep. It's this meets that at gmail.com. We'll read them. Or go to the website, our website, not yours. There's so much stuff, content for days, all the old episodes. Oof. We're coming, closing in fast on 300.
Wow.
Not there yet. But jeez. Like, probably in a month or two.
Yeah, probably at our pace.
I'm no mathematologist. You can find information about Russ's book Host. You can find a link to merch. There's t-shirts and mugs and mouse pads galore. It's thismeetsthat.com for all your wants and needs.